On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I preview the upcoming football game against Missouri, review this past week in Gamecock athletics, and end things with my six-pack of picks. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 18 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And what a great week to be a Gamecock, forever to thee, my goodness. I mean, just good vibes all the way around, everywhere you're looking, Gamecock Twitter, Gamecock Reddit, whatever it is, whatever you get your content from. Great vibes from the football program, some awesome content. The Josh Van video, honestly, I think that could get an Oscar or a Grammy or a Tony, whatever the hell that thing would get. But amazing video from the social media team. They are really bringing their A game. But also, opening day for college basketball. It's just an insane amount of college basketball games, if that is your thing. But if you are a fan of college athletics, this is our moment. Because no matter where you look, no matter what day of the week it is, there is constant action. And on top of that all, it was just great results for our Gamecocks, no matter how you look. Which brings me to review this past week in athletics. And so while we are wrapping up football season, and if the season gets extended for, you know, fingers crossed, a, you know, bowl game, some extra practices and things like that, the main focus of the podcast during that time will remain to be football, especially because the late season games, a little bit more of significance for those games. But of course, I will update what's going on with the basketball teams and everything else in Gamecock athletics, because we have to support our Gamecocks no matter what. And hey, we love our basketball. Obviously, you could say South Carolina, you know, we're a football school. But between everything Dawn Staley has built, we have a recognized powerhouse there. And Frank Martin, he just is a lightning rod. We have some great basketball, too. All right. But other than those, real quick, shout out women's soccer. Made the NCAA tournament. Great job, ladies. And they will travel to Chapel Hill to play UNC on Saturday. I really don't know much about UNC soccer. I actually think they're okay, because I think we made it in as a bit of a lower seed, so a little bit of a border war there. Good luck to the girls. Let's stick it to the Tar Heels. Now, going to basketball here, there really wasn't much going on outside of the women's soccer update and basketball. So, men's basketball, a little bit of news I'm sure you have heard by now, but Keyshawn Bryan, he was suspended for the first 5 games. Frank Martin, he didn't really give a ton of insight as to what led to that suspension. Sounds like it's a violation of team rules. And, you know, for a team that's just trying to bounce back and trying to get right again, that's just exactly what you want from one of your veteran leaders, a guy who would be a starter. That's just what you want for the first 5 games. It's just unbelievable. But they did win their opening game against USC Upstate, 78-60. A couple of highlights here for y'all. Jermaine Cousinard, one of the veterans, one of the holdovers from these past team or two, he led the team with 14 points. And newcomer, the guy I mentioned last show, Josh Gray, doing what a big man should do, 8 points, but 8 rebounds. And he's likely going to remain the starter while Bryan is out. So it was great to see him step up his game, because if you can have a nice rotation of bigs, that can go a long way, especially in college basketball. But what I noticed was Frank, he seemed to have that energy again. He looked like himself again. Of course, minus the fact that he doesn't have hair anymore. But honestly, Frank, I think it kind of fits your image. you kind of look like Stone Cold Steve Austin with that bald head, and it's very fitting for your attitude and for your coaching style. All we need is someone to throw Frank a beer from the stands, and he'd just slam it and chug it on the court. Be electric. But Frank mentioned that he said they didn't play as well as they could have. He said they got the W, but they didn't quite live up to their potential. And when you look at the stats, they shot 21% from three. Now, look, I'm not expecting the Gamecocks to look like Golden State Warriors, but you do want to see that number hovering closer to 30%. That's going to keep you in the game there. But they were able to get the W. Their upcoming schedule here, the men's team, they're going to play Princeton Friday night in Asheville at the Asheville Championship. So let's go. Stick it to Princeton. We can beat those guys. Yeah. And the question for me, though, has to be, can South Carolina avoid the early season out-of-conference disappointment? It feels like we've seen that in years past where there's a team that you think we should handle early in the season. You think you can build some momentum, and there's a letdown game. So can we avoid that? Because this team, it's not particularly deep, so you're going to need to take advantage of the games that you're supposed to win. Speaking of winning, women's basketball, what a way to start the season. This game was perfect. If you were working from home like I was, it was 5 o'clock. Yeah, sure, I was online, boss. It's 5 o'clock. I was moving my mouse around, sent an email or two, but I had the game on the whole time. It was awesome. Incredibly tough opponent in NC State. At their place in Raleigh, they had a great atmosphere. And let me tell you, NC State, they got a couple really good players there. You could see why they are the number 5 team in the country. I believe it was Perez was her last name. She was the leader of that team. You could see why they were really harping on her, talking about that on ESPN. But ultimately, the depth and experience and attitude of Carolina proved too much. They had a run in the third quarter. NC State had made it a one-possession game, but after that, we just took over. Don actually did not call a timeout. I thought that was pretty gutsy, and it really allowed the team to get back in a flow, play at our pace, and take control of the game. Now, there were a couple of silly turnovers, some silly shot clock violations, but I expect Don to get that cleaned up. Destiny Henderson really led the way with some hustle plays and complemented that with 14 points. The next game they play is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, against South Dakota. So I don't know if there's a spread for that game. Honestly, Gamecocks, if it's minus 100, I'm taking the minus 100. Now, moving over to football, Jalen Brooks, he's still away from the team. Shane Beamer did not really give much of an update. Dylan Wonnum, he's still pretty banged up. I saw that he is seeing a specialist. Could be out multiple weeks at this point. That could mean the rest of the season. But the Auburn game was announced for 7 p.m., and what a difference a couple of weeks make. I mean, you had some people legitimately complaining about the night game against Florida, and as soon as Auburn was announced, everyone's like, this place is going to be freaking rocking. That's going to be hostile. We are going to want to stick it to Bobo and company. Great way to end the season, in my opinion, as we come to that stretch. Obviously, we have a couple more games to go. But right now, this team and this podcast is going to focus on the game at hand this Saturday in Columbia, Missouri, as we take on the Missouri Tigers. Now, first off, this is starting the Tiger stretch, as I have dubbed it, as we play Mizzou, Auburn, and Clemson. Can Shane Beamer be the Tiger King going into these last three games? Because the biggest question going into this weekend has to be, can Shane Beamer and company avoid a letdown, right? The sign of a good team is being able to ride momentum and string a couple of wins together. And really, obviously, with this being Shane's first time being a head coach, this is his first time having to manage these types of expectations. You're coming off a huge win in the SEC. You have a whole new season in front of you. He's being interviewed left and right, being praised left and right. You have players being talked about, players being made of videos and things like that. Can you keep all of the noise to a minimum and get your guys to refocus? That is the task at hand for this staff, right? The win last weekend, I just alluded to it, you basically opened up a new season. It's one game at a time, but now you have a real, legitimate chance to end with a very respectable record. But the focus, it's just so funny, it has to remain on Mizzou, because if you start counting your chickens before they hatch, no pun intended, but then that great win against Florida could be all for naught. But us fans, we get to play the what-if game because we don't get paid for this. South Carolina, we are facing a very pedestrian Missouri team with obviously the biggest prize at the end of this game is a chance to become bowl eligible. And that would actually match the win total. Six wins would match the win total from the last 2 years combined in year one of Shane Beamer. And if you become bowl eligible this Saturday, you essentially are playing with house money and staring at a chance for a great season, right? Just mentioned, you have Auburn at home at night. Very hostile crowd. You're going to have that X factor in Willie B. And Clemson, the last game of the year, they're having a down year. It's clear as day. And that game is also at home. So you're looking at all of a sudden a chance to end with a very, very respectable record. It's up to Shane to manage this and manage these expectations. So what is South Carolina looking at the Missouri Tigers? So Mizzou is 4-5. They are 1-4 in the SEC. And it's kind of weird when you look at it. Their last five games are weirdly similar to Carolina's. Both have wins against a Group of Five team. Both have lost to Tennessee and A&M. And both beat Vanderbilt close. But the big difference is that South Carolina is coming off kicking Florida's ass, and Mizzou got their ass kicked by Georgia last weekend. And the biggest difference of them all is that Mizzou's defense hasn't been able to stop a nosebleed all year, while South Carolina's defense has largely carried the team to its wins to this point. I mean, let's be honest. Mizzou, they're also pretty banged up, too. Their starting quarterback, he missed the last game against Georgia, seeing that he did participate in practice, but status is still up in the air for Saturday. And they also lost a couple of guys for the year, actually, earlier. They lost their starting guard and a guy on defensive line, and I think a guy in their secondary who was more of a depth piece. But the point is, they've been banged up all this year. So the question for this game is, who's going to step up more? Will the South Carolina offense show more progress, or will the Missouri defense step up enough to slow down Carolina and maybe bring it back down to earth? So my crows to the game here, and again, for any new listeners here, what I do is I don't have keys to the game. We have our Rooster, Crow, and Williams, Bryce. I have my crows to the game. So overall for the game, bring the same level of focus as you had last week against Florida. Now, that's a kind of a touchy line to go to because you don't want to play tight like you have to replicate it. Remember what brought you that winning feeling, which is winning your one-on-one battles, having that focus, and competing throughout the game. On defense, my first crow of the game is do whatever you have to do to slow down Tyler Beatty. I'm so glad, for a side note, I am so glad that this kid's name is Beatty and not Batty, because I was not about to call some dude on Missouri Batty. Just wasn't going to do it. But the man is already a 1,000-yard rusher, and he fits their outside run zone scheme super well. He's not super tall, but he's thick, runs like a bowling ball, and weirdly enough, this kid also leads Missouri in receiving targets and receptions. This kid is literally their offense. So you're probably not going to be able to eliminate him, but slowing him down, maybe making him just a rusher, right? Like, don't let him get the pass game going, or vice versa, can go a long way. Because if you can shake Missouri's offense at their core, that could go a long way. Eli Drinkwitz, their coach, he's a big-time offensive guy. He calls their plays. He's their OC. You got to make him uncomfortable. Second crow to the game on defense, be adaptable. We don't really know who's going to be the quarterback for Mizzou. So you need to prepare for anyone, and they might even have a rotation. They did that against Georgia. One of the guys is more of a thrower. The other guy is more of a runner. So you have to be adaptable. But can you also adjust to the screens and slants that Mizzou likes to run? We're coming off two games against offenses who like to push the ball downfield more. Mizzou is a more sort of a West Coast offense, if you will. So if our base defense and the guys we have in, if they are unable to slow down Beatty, how quickly can Clayton White adjust, right? You don't want to have another situation like we had in Knoxville where you weren't able to adjust and it spiraled before you knew it. Now, speaking of Clayton White, this is not a crow to the game, but if you watch his press conference, someone asked him about when he and Drinkwitz, they overlapped at NC State, the Missouri coach. And Clayton White, he had a little smirk. You could see he didn't want to say something, but something tells me he really wants to stick it to Eli. So maybe expect a little extra heat coming out from the South Carolina defense, because I think Clayton White wants to stick it to him. Now on offense, first quarter of the game, put your offensive line in positions to replicate the recent success. Mizzou's rush defense has been sad at best. So whatever changes were made leading into the Florida game, just try those again. I mean, have the fullback, that H-back position, do that again. Feeding the hot hand. If someone breaks a big run, keep that guy in. Let him get into the flow of the game. Those things that we saw to get the rushing game going, do that again. My second quote of the game is by Jason Brown time. Offensive line, they did a great job last game of keeping him clean, but you can't always expect that. Be prepared to get creative to buy him time. If there is a strong point in this Missouri team, it is their pass rush. You can go ahead and use JB's mobility, create a new pocket, get him in space, or design some QB rollouts, because he has shown that when he does that, he is able to keep his eyes downfield. We've got a lot of crows for the offense here. Number three, incorporate the tight ends more and more. Missouri linebackers are not anything to write home about. They usually keep two in the box anyway, so it could create multiple matchup problems. Also, if you make Mizzou respect the threat of a tight end catching a pass, it could freeze their linebackers enough on draw plays, play action, things like that, and hurt them in the long run. And my fourth crow of the game is take full advantage of red zone opportunities. As great as the offense was against Florida, there were a couple of drives that stalled in enemy territory. Thank God for Parker White, but with a high-powered offense like Mizzou has, they've been able to put up points all year. Just look at the stats. Averaging, I believe, over 30 points, you have to find ways to find the end zone to ease the burden on your defense. So overall for the game, you're never going to find me intimidated by Missouri, right? I don't think Columbia is a particularly tough place to play, and overall I feel like the Mizzou program has a much lower ceiling than South Carolina does in general. But with that being said, anytime you go on the road in the SEC, especially against a team that is desperate for a win like Mizzou, it is dangerous, and the Gamecocks have to treat it as such. Now, at the start of the year, I actually penciled this one in as a chance for Shane Beamer to show what he has in the SEC and an opportunity to get one on the road. But now, that opportunity is even bigger, and there's much more implications. You have to try to manage that as best you can, Shane, but this is a huge, huge statement you could make here. But ultimately, like I said earlier, this is a question of which unit steps up more, the Carolina offense or the Missouri defense. And I'm taking the Carolina offense. I think USC escapes Columbia, Missouri with the Mayor's Cup. I think it's going to be close, but we want the Mayor's Cup. Bring us the cup back and let's go, Gamecocks. We got this. So now we're going to move over to my six pack of picks and wrap up this episode up. For any new listeners, six pack of picks, I pick one game from Power 5 conferences and one from the Group of 5, and I don't bet on South Carolina because I don't like to mix business with pleasure. So real quick, ACC, I'm going Notre Dame -5.5 versus UVA. That game is at 7:30. Big Ten, going a very Big Ten game here. Northwestern versus Wisconsin, under 41. I think Wisco is able to smother Northwestern. Their offense hasn't done much all year anyway, and I think it goes low. Big 12, Iowa State, -10.5 versus Texas Tech. A lot of change in the Texas Tech program going on. They have a new coach. The coach got fired. Iowa State coming off a big win. I just think Iowa State's able to go into Lubbock and roll. Pac-12, it's always a crapshoot with the Pac-12. Utah, -24 versus Arizona. Arizona screwed me last weekend, but I didn't know Cal had a bunch of guys out with COVID. Utah, I don't think they do. We're going Utah -24 against Arizona. And in the SEC, I need a get-right weekend for my six-pack, and I think Kentucky needs a get-right weekend. Kentucky -21 versus Vanderbilt. I think Kentucky's going to go in with a chip on their shoulder, pissed off about what happened last weekend, and I think they roll. Group of five, give me Houston versus Temple over 53.5. That game's at noon. Houston has a high-powered offense. They could score 40-plus on their own. All Temple has to do is just a little bit, and I think it hits. So with that being said, that concludes this episode. As always, please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like and subscribe to the pod. If you are listening on Apple, leave me a review. I really appreciate every single one of them. And with that, let's go Cox. Let's go Bolin. Let's go, boys.